from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Missouri Republicans are stepping up efforts to place a board full of gubernatorial appointees in charge of overseeing the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. This would be a massive change, as voters in 2012 approved a plan effectively giving the St. Louis Mayor's Office oversight over the law enforcement agency. Unsurprisingly, this plan is drawing a sharp rebuke from high-level St. Louis leaders. During a Senate committee hearing earlier this week in Jefferson City, St. Louis Mayor Tishara Jones condemned GOP State Senator Nick Schroer's bill as unnecessary and unfair.
State control over our police department was a failure. It was a failure that the voters rejected, and if this body holds respect for facts and best practices, it should fail to move beyond this committee.
So could this be an example of a solution in search of a problem, or could this gubernatorial board really enhance public safety throughout St. Louis? Joining us now to talk about this bill is State Senator Nick Schroer, who represents a portion of St. Charles County in the Missouri Senate. Senator, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And I apologize right now if anybody can hear some road noise. I'm coming back from the Capitol.
Before we talk about the arguments for and against your bill, can you explain who would be on the board overseeing the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, and like particularly who would appoint them to that position?
Well, that's a great question. And the different iterations of this bill year after year, it's kind of changed the dynamic of who would be on there. But the one thing that remains constant is the mayor would be on it. The governor would pick from a slate of different candidates, and I'll kind of differentiate the two different routes that we have gone. But ultimately, they're going to be citizens in the city of St. Louis. So the current bill that we have right now essentially groups the fraternal groups in policing. You've got the POA, Police Officers Association. You've got ESOP, the Ethical Society of Police, which historically, you look back in time and they typically don't agree on big controversial issues when it comes to combating crime and different tactics. But on this one, they are 100% in line with this bill that this has to get done. But essentially, they would get to pick the different candidates that the governor would choose from outside of the mayor. And they would be the ones that are on the board. They're going to be, you know, community leaders. They're going to be experts in law enforcement. But they have to be. The one thing that we've wanted this is a citizen board control where citizens have a stake in the game, where community policing is enacted with police working with these community leaders. And that's what we're getting with this bill.
So under this setup, though, when the governor still makes the ultimate decision on who's on this board, would the state then be responsible for paying for things that the board approves, like legal related expenses or new equipment or requests for more people? Or would that be still the city of St. Louis's responsibility to pay for those things?
Well, there's going to be buy-in from the state on many things. We heard the attorney general's staff came in saying that the legal defense fund would be extended to them once this bill goes through, and protecting a lot of law enforcement from different lawsuits and representing them in those manners. Now, there was a provision in the bill, which is going to remain in there, discussing the state responsible for all of the indebtedness and contracts that are out there. And we're trying to finalize some language as well, looking at the funding issues that we saw in Kansas City, response to threats of defunding the police, and trying to make sure that once this is set up that the city can't just say, well, we're not going to send any funding whatsoever. So there is going to be funding mechanisms from the state and from the city itself.
I think that the biggest question that both proponents and opponents of this idea are asking is, why do you think this method of overseeing the police department would make St. Louis safer than it is today?
Well, and it's a great question. And, you know, when I was in college, I studied criminology and criminal justice. I lived in Ferguson, Missouri, for many years, even after we moved into another city, Florissant in North County, my wife and I, when we were dating, we ended up moving back to Ferguson for a while. So this is an area where it's really impacted me, my friends, my businesses that I worked for. And I've been studying this issue for a very long time, working with law enforcement. And number one, when all of these different groups, which historically aren't agreeing on certain topics, are coming to the table, not only is it ESOP and the POA and the FOP, we've got the police chiefs organization who testified in support of this bill as well, and the law enforcement legislative coalition. So all of the people who are putting their lives on the line day in, day out are saying this is the solution. Let us get back to a board of experts, a board of citizens to govern us instead of political folks who are injecting politics into policy. So I have asked this question. Okay, well, what's the difference, as you've heard from Senator Barbara Washington, who's a good friend of mine. She's a Democrat in Kansas City, but she was asking that they've got board control. How is this going to be different? And, you know, going back historically speaking to the residency requirement repeal, we were told as Republicans, you cannot compare and contrast Kansas City to St. Louis. And there's a whole slew of reasons why, you know, whether it's the Kansas City has 200K more population than St. Louis. Kansas City is still growing. St. Louis is bleeding population. The prosecutorial issues, there's a number of them. But how is this going to help? Essentially, it is getting buy-in from experts in the field, community policing, getting people that are going to have the police's backs and listen to them when it comes to the resources and the tools that they need.
You mentioned Kansas City and kind of your wariness of comparing St. Louis to Kansas City because they're different sizes, there's different population trends, but there is kind of one common denominator. The mayors of St. Louis and Kansas City do not like the concept of having a gubernatorially appointed board overseeing their police department. Here is a clip from a 2023 episode of St. Louis on the Air with Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas expressing his disdain for this setup.
Right now in Kansas City, we're on pace to have our most, and sadly, most violent year in terms of homicides. In St. Louis, I've seen numbers that suggest that we're seeing homicide trends that have dropped by 25% between 2020 and 2021, right? There are things that are working. You have new leadership. So why change? What is actually the rationale for change other than what I would believe is, unfortunately, a far right-wing conservative power grab to try to take away actually the voices of the people of St. Louis?
That was Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas on a 2023 episode of St. Louis on the Air. What's your response to Mayor Lucas's comments there?
Well, of course, I disagree with him. This is not, you know, some conservative power grab. This is listening to the people. The many town halls that I've done in the city of St. Louis with my good friend Ty Dennis, who started Clippers and Cops. He was a St. Louis resident, became an officer in Atlanta and Georgia, and trying to bring the police and the people back together, started this Clippers and Cops, which is now expanded in the city of St. Louis. And we're listening to the people loud and clear. We're listening to the residents. I even had several calls into my office of St. Louis city residents adamantly supporting this bill, saying that there's zero trust in the Tashara Jones administration when it comes to trash pickup, when it comes to cleaning up the streets, when it comes to public safety. No, but I disagree with him on his assessment that this is all politics. No, it's quite the contrary. We're trying to get politics out of policing and let the experts do what they do best and clean up our streets so we can compete with areas like Nashville, Tennessee, Austin, Texas, and many others that are similarly situated. So as of right now, the status quo is not working. We're bleeding population, we're bleeding businesses, and ultimately when you look as a policymaker, what impact is that having when our number one region for economic growth, economic vitality, general revenue funds that are coming from the city of St. Louis, they're depleting. And the impact that that's going to have long term if we continue the status quo and continue just letting this problem further devolve, it's going to have huge implications on what we can do as a state, the services that are offered, and the future of Missouri.
Now, before I ask this question, I do want to point out that there are a number of elected officials in the city of St. Louis that do not like the current setup and would like to go to your bill. And as you mentioned, both the St. Louis Police Officers Association and the Ethical Society of Police, which represents primarily African-American officers, are in support of this. So I want that caveat to be out there before I ask this question. But it is noticeable to me that people who are sponsoring this bill are not from the city of St. Louis and are from places like St. Charles County or, in Senator Travis Fitzwater's case, Callaway County. And I think opponents would see that reality as evidence that people not from St. Louis City are trying to micromanage St. Louis City. Yeah. What would you say to that?
Well, you know, it is a valid concern, and that's where I've shared my history and my story with a lot of these people that I consider friends. They might disagree with this bill, but they have to learn that I grew up minutes from the Arch in Ferguson, Missouri, right next to Emerson Electric. I still have plenty of family and friends and colleagues on both sides of the aisle that live in St. Louis City, that live in St. Louis County. I've got many constituents that have left the city of St. Louis in recent years and have moved into St. Charles County. And just listening to the people on the ground, listening to the men and women in law enforcement who have said, we've tried to talk to other senators in the past. We've tried to talk to other state representatives in the past. And I think somebody alluded to that in one of the hearings, either on the House side or the Senate side, that it is a shame when St. Louis City senators and state representatives have not listened to the men and women in law enforcement who so adamantly want this. So, no, it's not necessarily a concern that I think has any legs, because we're handing this back to the people in the city of St. Louis to govern over the Metropolitan Police Department. So even though we may live a little bit, 20, 30 miles away from where they do in the city of St. Louis, we're still listening to their citizens, and we're putting this back in their hands to be on this board to take politics out of policing.
I guess I asked this question because it seems to be a trend in the relationship between state government and St. Louis and St. Louis County. I mean, we just went through a situation recently in St. Louis County where Governor Parson insisted that he and not County Executive Page should appoint Wesley Bell's replacement. And yet he didn't make any such objection when Steve Ellman appointed Tim Lomar's replacement as prosecutor. So what would you say that this is just another example of the state treating St. Louis and St. Louis County differently than large Republican-led counties like St. Charles County?
Yeah, and that, again, that is a valid point as well. And I do think that there should be more of a consistency. I did kind of scratch my head when that happened. I'm like, well, why was it okay replacing my good friend Tim Lomar's replacement? McCullough has been phenomenal for St. Charles County. But when you look at the crime statistics in the city of St. Louis, in St. Louis County, there is a different dynamic. There is a tougher on crime approach, maintenance of law and order in St. Charles County that you're not seeing and you haven't seen in recent years under Wesley Bell and Ken Gardner. But it's something that I think you'd have to ask Mike Parson why he didn't step in on the St. Charles County replacement and he did on St. Louis. I will say his pick is phenomenal in both St. Louis City and St. Louis County. I know the question was asked yesterday about state intervention. When has it worked before? And I pointed to Kim Gardner with the state intervening and replacing her with Gabe Gore, who's done a great job so far.
I think it's important to explain how we got to this point, because St. Louis used to have a gubernatorial board overseeing the police department up until 2012. And voters passed a ballot item putting the current system in place. And the person that funded that measure was Rex Sinkfeld, who has given millions of dollars to help Republican and Democratic candidates. And I'm going to be really honest with you, Senator. It is a little odd to me that the momentum to pass this bill is coming when there is a mayor in place that did not receive donations or did not support a lot of Sinkfeld initiatives. Like, Mayor Slay was a big Sinkfeld benefactor. Lyda Crewson supported a lot of Sinkfeld's ideas, and Tashara Jones doesn't. And suddenly this idea is on the fast track. Should I take off my tinfoil hat here, or am I on to something about why this has more momentum than usual?
No, I think there's another time and place for a tinfoil hat. This one is not it. I think it's really simple. You mentioned all of those different mayors, whether it was Slay, Bosley, Lyda Crewson. they actually supported the police. They worked with the police. And I remember Lida Krusen testifying when I was in the House, testifying against the residency repeal. And then the next year she came up and even told me that she had changed her mind. She had worked with law enforcement to figure out a way to better recruitment and retention. So all of those different mayors in my lifetime at least had a working relationship with police or supported police. And now we have a mayor who legitimately campaigned on defunding the police. And, you know, the crime statistics have gotten worse. Recruitment retention has gotten worse. We have now under 900 officers, which just a couple of years ago, there were over 1,200. 200 of those, 200 plus, are actually eligible for retirement today. So this is a dire straits moment where, you know, it can get worse. And we have to stop the bleeding immediately and try to save this region and make it safe for everyone.
I did a quick Google search, and I saw in 2021 that Jones wanted to take, I think, $4 million out of the police department and put it toward things like affordable housing, hiring social workers and clinicians. But like the reality on the ground is like police officers have received significant salary increases, and the mayor just announced with the police union that they're going to get an even larger salary increase soon. So let's take aside the rhetoric. Hasn't the reality shown that like the Jones administration has done the opposite of defunding the police by giving police officers more money?
Well, when you look at the budgets over the past couple of years, and we've talked about this in the Senate hearings, when you look at the budgets proposed by the mayor, you might see more money going to law enforcement, what she's claiming is law enforcement. When you dig down deep into it, you're taking a ton of money away from patrol and diverting a lot of that money to these social programs that we know don't necessarily work, are not curbing crime. I mean, look at Cure Violence, for example, and all of the money that was wasted into a program that was, stocked with criminals and has a Netflix-esque type of story behind it. And rather than giving the tools to law enforcement that they were asking for, there's more talk of, well, let's put the cameras, the red light cameras up. Let's do these social work programs where these social workers are saying, well, if I'm going to a domestic, I want police there with me. So you're actually increasing the job that they're going to have to do with less resources. So I am glad she kind of backed off of some of these things that she knew was not going to be dealt well in the public eye with the $4 million defunding, but she did get rid of immediately after she was elected, got rid of several of the positions, many of the positions that were not filled, that were supposed to be filled with the repealing the residency requirement. So no, I would still say, even though she has not been as vocal when it comes to defunding the police, when you look at the actual statistics of her budget, she's just doing that as well.
Democrats in the Senate are probably going to filibuster your bill. How do you plan to navigate around their opposition, which I think has pretty much sunk similar efforts in the recent past?
Yeah, and it's just being with them and talking to them about their priorities and connecting them with many of the people that are in the region that I've met at town halls. One of these young ladies, just 2 years ago, I had met at one of the town halls. She lives in the city of St. Louis. She went to Lincoln University, and I actually had her as one of my interns my first year. But connecting them with the residents who are begging for this, connecting them with, and if they're senators for the city of St. Louis or around, connecting them with the police that put their lives on the line to protect those constituents, and just seeing, is there anything legislatively that we can do to make this better, to alleviate any of your concerns, showing any of the statistics from ESOP or the POA that show that this is the right move, and just doing what a senator should be doing, and that's the hard work, going into meetings with them and trying to negotiate a better bill.
Senator Nick Schroer represents Missouri's 2nd Senatorial District, which takes in a portion of St. Charles County. Senator, thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
This episode was produced, recorded, and edited by Jason Rosenbaum, with production assistance by Maya Norfleet. Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.